Turn to a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I have it on my heart to speak about the word influence. My brother just spoke about his prayer that those that are here would go on for the Lord, and it's a prayer for many of us, I'm sure. We can all echo that. But I want to just discuss a little bit about influence and how we can be an influence to each other. Now, it's important that we don't do it in our own strength, but I do think it's important to realize that we affect each other more than we know it. There's a brother once at the conference in Montreal was speaking, and a very respected brother, and he said in the meeting, he said, "You might receive a lot from this conference, you might receive a lot of encouragement and teaching, but what's going to affect you the most, what's going to affect you the most in your Christian life might not be necessarily the things that you hear in this meeting, but the people sitting right beside you." And that struck me. So look at the person sitting beside you. Look at the people in your row. Look at your friends and your family, the young people you're hanging out with. These people will influence you more than you think. These people will help you grow in your faith, or they might bring you down. I have to hang my head and say that there's been times in my life that I've been bringing people down. That there's been times when I wasn't walking with the Lord, and I look back and I said, man, I could have been a help to that person. Some of the kids here, you can be an influence too. I just saw during this meeting, one kid trying to distract the other kid and make funny faces, and the kid's sibling said, no, you should listen. So you know what? You might be sitting in this row in this conference and be 5 or 6 or 7 or 10. You can be an influence to the people around you. It doesn't just start whenever you start speaking at a conference. You can be an influence where the Lord has put you. And I want to speak this afternoon, we'll just start in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2. And this is something the Lord just showed me in my reading, in my regular reading, as I was going through this book. And it just kept sticking with me. And the Lord just put it on my heart to share. So I just would unload this burden on my brethren here. We'll pray it'll be for profit. So this is the end of the verse 9 of 2 Corinthians. End of verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 9. "And your zeal hath provoked very many." I believe, if I have the context right, they were going to prepare a collection or prepare something to give to the apostle, and this was going to be an influence on, this had influenced very many around you. Around them in that day. And if you look at other portions, whenever, especially where the apostle will write in his salutations, he writes about those that were a help to him, those that were that refreshed him, those that provoked him, those that encouraged him. And if the apostle Paul was here and he was writing about us, what would he say about us? Would it be that we would have been those that were an encouragement, those that were an influence for the good? I say that because we influence either in the positive or the negative. If you show up at meeting and you just say, well, I'm just here to fill up a seat, and I'm just here to go, I got my busy life, you're influencing people. Maybe you didn't say a word to someone. Maybe you said not a thing. You just came, you came for the first time, you left right after the end, you left. You influence people. You weren't a part of the assembly life. You were in fellowship with the assembly as a whole. Now, this doesn't mean, I'm not talking about being breaking bread or not at the Lord's table, but we have an influence on each other, either for the positive or for the negative. And I want to turn to a story in John 21 of Peter, who had an influence on those around him. John 21, and let's read verse 2. "And they were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, We will also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately that night and caught nothing. Now, I'm not here to bash Peter for what he did. Peter was at a low point in his life. He had realized he had denied the Lord, him who had just a few days before said he would go to death for the Lord. He had denied the Lord. And him who a few years ago had given up his fishing boat, given up what he was wanting to do and gone to serve the Lord, to follow his Savior, his Lord. And now he had denied him, he was discouraged, and he says, I'm going fishing. But he brings six people along with him. Six others come with him, and they go fishing all night, and they catch nothing. And I say that we can be, if we are discouraged in our souls, we can influence people towards things that are not good, towards things that might not glorify the Lord, towards things that would be a discouragement. I think it says in Romans 14, no man dies to himself. We're not an island in ourselves in our Christian life. If I come to be an encouragement, if I come ready to bless others, if I come with saying, Lord, who can I encourage today in the meeting? Who can I reach out to? Who can I try to just be an encouragement from? If I come with that spirit, the Lord will bless us. But if I come with a critical spirit, oh, not that brother again speaking, or oh, well, that person looked at me crooked, or oh, they're always late, that person. If I have a critical spirit in my heart, it'll influence how I perceive my brethren. It'll influence the way that I treat fellow believers. And there's a verse in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So, if you have a root of bitterness, or if I have a root of bitterness, and it troubles me, it'll influence people around me. I know, growing up with some young people whose parents were very critical of the assembly, were very critical of other believers, always putting them down. And guess what? It was contagious. And it affects other people. Same way that I know other believers where they always sought to build up the saints, be an encouragement to them, not speak negatively of them, not have roast brethren for lunch. And it was been an encouragement. Now, does that mean you're never going to be critical? No. And I'm just realizing this being a new dad, that the way I'm going to treat my brethren and the way I'm going to speak of my brethren in front of my daughter and if you have other kids, that's going to influence very much how they perceive things as well. You know, the only failure of an Old Testament saint recorded in the New Testament is that of Elijah, who did not sanctify the people of God, who spoke against, who criticized. So let's be careful and have a critical spirit of those around us. We are in a day of weakness. We are in a day where there are real difficulties. There are problems. You shouldn't just close an eye on it and pretend it's not there. But let's try to go on to have a good spirit, to have one that would always seek the best, to seek the positive in our brethren, to be a help. So we have Peter, who was a discouragement to Wills. He took the six guys fishing. Now we can say that at the end of that night, they didn't catch anything. They had a whole night of fishing and they didn't catch anything, and it wasn't a profitable time. And unfortunately, I could say the times when maybe I've been critical or I've sought to say things in jest or seek to be think myself better than others has not been for the blessing of the people of God. It's not going to help build the saints. But now let's turn into the book of Acts, chapter 11. is the time when Peter received the vision, and he's recounting this story to the apostles in Judea, and he's recounting how that he received this vision. The sheet came down three times, and he went to Cornelius, and the Spirit was given. They were saved. But it's interesting to see when he went to visit these brethren, what happened. And let's see in verse 12 of Acts 11. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered in that man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, and going on. And the result, we're not going to go over the story for the sake of time, but looking before, Peter took six brothers with him. There were six of his fellow disciples, and they went in a ship, and they caught nothing. Now, he takes six men with him. Peter, being restored, full of the Holy Ghost, goes, and with these six brothers are an encouragement to this group, and the gospel is preached, and there's a great blessing. And so we can put ourselves in either category. Are we going to be the Peter that brought discouragement or the Peter that brings encouragement? Sometimes it doesn't have to be a long exhortation or a long conversation or a long thought-out rebuke to a brother or sister. And I speak well to the sisters because we all need to help each other as well. It's not just the brothers in a public sense like today. It's so important to be exercise to be a help to those around us. Whenever you have the saints in your home for a meal or seek to get to know them better, it can be a help. You can get to know them and get to know them more than just their faults they might show at meeting. You can seek to be a help to them that way. It's not always in the big things, it's in the small things that we can be a help as well. And so, to be an influence. Are you influencing people for the better? Or your discouragement. And I think this involves all areas of life. You mentioned the kids that could help each other. And I even saw it today, so I know it still happens. The young people as well. I'm a bit older than that now. I'm kind of graduated. But as young people, are we building ourselves up? Are we helping each other in our faith? Are we seeking in our communications to edify, to build each other up in our faith? There's nothing wrong having a good time, of having fun, of partaking in different activities. But are we seeking to build things that remain? Are we seeking to dig a deeper sense of growing in the Word? I was talking about this a few years ago, last night with a couple of guys, and we were talking how that 15 years ago at this conference, we had gotten together, we had had like a discussion about spiritual things, and man, some of the things we talked about, like, we probably weren't completely accurate. But there was a desire for us just to kind of discuss some of these things. And I'm not trying to put us on a pedestal here, but in our conversations that we have, ours is for the glory of God. Are we seeking to help to strengthen the things that remain? Are we going to be a help in our assembly? Now, when it talks to having influence, I would encourage something to my older brethren. In your assemblies, maybe there's some young brothers or sisters or families that need encouragement. Maybe they might not come to you, say, I need encouragement, but go to them. You can reach out to them. You can have them in your home. You can try to reach out to them and bridge the gap between the gray hair and the not so gray hair, or the older and the younger. It's a way we can help each other out. There's some young brothers that I'm sure would love to get together with you and learn the Word. They might not tell you outright, but maybe it's a desire of theirs. But if you never talk to them, if you never connect on that way, you never might not know that there's that need. And the sisters as well. I can't speak exactly from the sisters' perspective, but I know that they do value the fellowship as well. And so I don't make a blanket case for every single occurrence, but there needs to be the transfer of knowledge from the older to the younger. There needs to be the influencing, either for the positive. You know, online on social media, there's a lot of people that are influencers that have, you know, 10,000 followers on Instagram or on YouTube, and they promote different products, they promote different things, they're influencing people's mindsets. And we can be that way in our Christian lives too. Even at school, in our work, we can be influencers for good. And so, I just want to encourage y'all here to not be like one that would have a root of bitterness, that would have something against his brother or against a sister or against something or a teaching, and would seek to push their own way, and it has a defiling effect. To build up, to influence for the good. Because we each either we're going up or we're going down. There's no middle ground. We either should come ready to encourage, ready to bless others, making sure, like my brother mentioned, there's no sin in our conscience, no unjudged thoughts, that we might come ready to be an encouragement where the Lord has put us. In 1 Corinthians 14, actually, sorry, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We have an influence on each other. We can weep with those that weep. We can rejoice with them that rejoice. We can condescend to men of low estates. We can seek to be like a Barnabas, to be an encourager. We need that. We need to be building up, just to come when we're together, to have the joy of the Lord radiating in our hearts. To me, sometimes as people walk in to meetings and they look so glum, they look moody or just downright sad. It's like, you're not helping if you're that way. Do you realize that you're acting that way? It's not really a help. You're not going to have, someone's not going to want to reach out to you necessarily if you look like you could eat them, or you can just look miserable. It's not as welcoming. So let's just make sure the joy of the Lord is in our faces as well as in our hearts. And we are members one of another. What we do affects one another. Maybe you might say, I come to a meeting, I don't do anything wrong, I'm on time, and no one ever knows what I do in my personal life. But in order, you know, godliness is not inherited. You might come from a godly family, godly parents or grandparents that love the Lord, that value the truth of being gathered to the Lord's name, but that does not mean that you will automatically inherit that. We inherit some other things from our parents, but we don't inherit godliness necessarily. We have to personally make that conviction in our own hearts to want to follow the Lord with purpose of heart. Be like Caleb, be like a Joshua that would seek to, even if the 10 other tribes would bring a bad report about the land, they said, no, we're able. We are able, Caleb could say. And they would go in there and they would move ahead and want to claim the promised land for God's people. And that influenced Caleb's daughter as well. Caleb's daughter and her name now. Actually, I think it was. Yeah. And she wanted the land as well. It influenced her in a good way. And so we can be an influence to our children as well in a positive way. And so just thinking about, you know, we're in our reading meeting talking about David. David had a lot of opposition. He had those around him that the soldiers were not necessarily for him. His brothers were against him, saying, what are you doing here? David, even Saul, King Saul, wasn't encouraging him to go out. But he went out, and he was an influencer for the good. And so maybe you come from a small assembly. Maybe there's a lot of discouragement. Maybe there's no young people. Maybe there's just weakness. And you could go on and you could list all the problems. But are you going to be an influencer for good? Are you going to bring about change? We don't mean like in the arm of the flesh, trying just to go and push your weight around. I know us young brothers sometimes can get excited and want to get things done. But you know what? If we're there to be a blessing, if we are there to encourage and build up, will make a difference. Maybe it might not be visible right away. Maybe it'll be someone that will come to you a few years later and say, hey, you know, whenever you did this to me, whenever you said that to me, or you had me over, or you took me out for coffee, that really encouraged me in my life. We might not even know this side of glory, what we do for the Lord. We might not get that reward right now. But let's be influencers for good. Let's wholly follow the Lord, and we'll see it'll influence our brothers and sisters until the Lord comes. May the Lord bless his word.